Hello and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Okay, y'all, today we have two very special guests on the show today. Bella and Kenz are two best friends who are joining me to talk about hospitality. Now, you may think you know what hospitality means, especially in regards to what God says about it in His Word, but Bella and Kenz actually have a beautiful way to share what that means and what that looks like. And some of the ways that they describe may surprise you, actually. It's not just hosting, it's not just bringing people over to your home, it's also in the little details. So with all that being said, I'm so excited to just jump right into our conversation with Bella and Kenzie. I really hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. I'm here with two of my favorite women, and they are two young women that I have gotten to know at my church, and they are two of the people that I have seen exemplify the gift of hospitality really, really well. So that's why I've invited them here, and they are Bella and Kenzie, and thank you so much for joining this show.
Thank you for having me, for having us.
It's a joy.
Yeah, right now we're all on one couch right now. They're sharing a mic, so this is going to be interesting and fun. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of people who don't know you, so I'd love for you guys to just share a little snapshot of who you guys are for our listeners.
I'm going first. Yes. Okay, I'm Kenzie. I moved to Franklin, where we're recording this, about a year ago almost. 10 months ago, and I'm originally from California, Southern California, and we're sharing later how we met. Okay, yes. So I am a graphic designer, moved here for a job. Since then, the Lord's redirected me to a different job. But yeah, a little bit about me. I love being outside. I love coffee. I love anything creative, design, photography. I love traveling. And I love hospitality, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So good. I think I could just say copy and paste.
Yeah, we're pretty similar.
Very similar. Hello, my name is Bella. Born and raised Southern California. Represent. I moved here, same, 10 months ago. And I currently work in marketing for a publishing company here in Franklin. And things I enjoy. Love being outside, running. I don't know.
Baking,
cooking, yeah. Road trips, wearing an apron. that can be a hobby, is wearing an apron. Dancing, thrifting, dancing in the kitchen. Really.
Hosting.
Hosting. Yeah. Ultimately, hosting is, yeah, such a sweet gift. So, honored to be here. And Lydia is an incredible person. Kenz and I feel honored to be here and be chatting with her. So
no, I'm honored that you guys are on here. And even just thinking back on how we guys met, I remember it was first at the game night. And yeah, that was so fun. It was my first time getting to, like, meeting everyone too, so I had no idea that you guys were new as well, because you guys also just seemed to just like you already had friends. It seemed like you just, you know,
girl, we had no friends. We're like, can you be our friend? Yeah.
But it was really cool to have that
I don't know, that one meeting, and then Bella coming over to my parents' house when I hosted small group one time, and she just wanted to learn how to cook.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So it was literally the biggest feat, and we made way too much risotto because I had like two big pots, and we didn't even get through one pot.
There was an abundance.
There was way too much. But yeah, and then just getting to know Kenzie more too through Bella at first, and then having our own conversation, which we met up here, and I can't remember. Oh, it was because you like took photos of me in a sweater, back, and then we just October. That was like our first time really talking to each other, and mm-hmm. then we also have a life group that we have not been able to do in the last few months, but yeah.
It's a theoretical life group.
We're making progress. We're here
in spirit. It's fine. Yeah, we love each other from afar. But also, yeah, it just kind of shows to just even your desire to have wanted to start that life group, your love for hospitality, opening your home to me and Brooke as well, in our life group, but also just to anyone and everyone. And this apartment, it just goes to show too, which I'm sure you all talk about, but like your apartment, it may seem small in terms of the grand scheme of like what hospitality, like how you use a house or whatever to host people. But we've packed pretty, like a lot of people in here.
Pushing so. Like 25 at a time. Yeah.
Don't know if that's fire code friendly or not. Tell but our who knows?
Yeah. Definitely violates a
I'm
lot
sure
of
they
things.
Won't find us on here.
Our
but.
Neighbors probably don't love us for that, but it's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, but jumping right into it. Well, let's just talk first, like how you guys met. And as you guys were talking, you joking about copy paste, like has that, do you think that's been something to where it's been that grew you closer together? Or was it kind of hard at first when you guys first met?
You go.
That is, no, I was gonna say you go. Origin story. Right. Take it back to episode one of how Bella and Kenzie became friends. So we met junior year of college. What year was that?
2021.
Okay, sounds good. We're going with 21. Yeah. The year of 2021. I had just transferred in from community college, was really looking for friends.
Where did he go to school?
Oh, we graduated from California Baptist University in Riverside, California.
Lands up.
Southern California. And yeah, transferred in from community college, new believer at the time, wanted to get plugged in, wanted to just open my Bible with people, and stumbled into a Bible study where we broke off into groups by the end of the night, and Ken's was in the same group as me. And what was one of the first things that you said to me? Wait, sorry, for context. I was feeling so defeated this week. I had tried reaching out and making so many friends, but nothing was sticking, and finally came to the end of myself. There's a spiritual analogy there for you. Came to the end of myself and just was like, you know what, Lord? I know that you are going to provide community and friends in the right time. Mm. I'm just going to show up at this Bible study and expect nothing. Hence, I meet Ken's.
Yes. First thing I said to you, I don't really remember, but I think the
probably,
first
probably
thing,
hi.
Well, yeah. Hi is good. What's your name? But I remember your outfit. You were very stylish. And I was like, I think this girl would be a really sweet friend. We just had similar vibes, I think. But I also could tell that you were a newer believer. So I was like kind of excited. I was like, oh, well, maybe I can like, I don't know, help her.
Take her under my wing.
which is so silly. You were like leaps and bounds further ahead of me having been a Christian for like 21 years. But no. It was like love at first sight. That's just such a stupid term. But like I just knew. I was like, this girl, she's going to be my friend. And Bella was not sure about it. She was.
I didn't know.
She was very skeptical. And our first conversation was about Magnolia, the company. Mm-hmm. We both had an obsession for this brand that is all about home and lifestyle. And I had like wanted to do an internship there. And she was like, oh my gosh, no way. I would want that too. So we started chatting, and then we went to dinner with the whole group, talked the entire time. But then by the end of it, I could just tell she was like, okay, bye, like I don't know how to feel about this. And then I like had followed up with you the next week. We eventually got dinner before Christmas break, and then I was like, yeah, like I could come visit you like when you're home in Dana Point. And then she was like, oh, gonna see. Like, you were just not sure. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna make this girl my friend.
Yes.
So, long story short, we have been friends ever since. And I will say, like, I was also in a similar position of, like, having post-COVID the restart of friendships and trying to, like, figure out my place at CBU. And I had prayed for a friend like Bella for basically my entire life. Mm. Like, I had just had a lot of friendships.
Dang, those friendships were fried.
Yeah, literally. A lot of friendship hardship throughout my life, my short life, but enough. Enough trial to be just very, very grateful and aware of what a gift Bella is, and just our kindred spirit, you could say, of like instant connection. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a ton in common, but we just don't get tired of each other. Like,
yeah.
Obviously now we live together, and there's literally not a day where I'm like, I'm tired of Bella. Like, mm-hmm. I just, she's the lifelong bestie, and I'm very thankful that that Bible study just was like a casual first day of my life change, and yeah. I didn't know it. So yeah. That's the gist.
Well, so you said you were kind of like uncertain about it. Was it just her continual pursuit of you that you're like, okay, I guess I like you?
Yes. I think a part of it was just because I had tried reaching out to so many people and it just, nothing really ever clicked. And so the moment that I stopped trying and the Lord actually put someone in my life that pursued me first was so uncomfortable, and I was so caught off guard by it because it was something that I was not used to. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's grace was in that. And still, I think Ken's faithfulness and persistence with pursuing me has taught me so much more about the gospel than any other friendship has. Mm-hmm. And in the same way that Christ pursues us, and it doesn't matter, you know, how many mistakes or the snobby attitude that I can give off or the distant vibe, it's just, hey, I'm here and I want to be friends with you. And so it took me a while to warm up, but once again, her faithful persistence and patience with me was unlike any other friendship that I'd ever experienced. And so I'm so thankful for her, and just just the gospel saturated love that you have demonstrated for me. And too, with bonding so quickly over Magnolia, that's a whole foreshadow within itself, but we really did click. And I just, it's like, oh, you like Magnolia? It's like, I used to watch the show as a kid.
Which makes me feel really old when you say that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but we bonded over the home. That's crazy.
Yeah, literally hospitality.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's, I think it's great for people. I when I hear your friendship and how it started, it reminds me of me and my two best friends. Because with one of them, I met her when we were in seventh grade, and I actually said in her in my maid of honor speech at her wedding, I was like, she hated me when we first met. And she will admit it too. Like, I don't remember how, I think it was just because I was always there. She was like, oh, I guess I like her. And then we became best friends. And my other friend, kind of in a similar situation, she was like, she had gone off to school and we were good friends in high school, but then I think because, and I didn't realize, but she told me later that it's like, hey, you pursued me and I'm really thankful, because I would not have done that for you, but you continuously, you know, sought after me. And I'm thankful that you did, because I don't know where I would be if I didn't have you to do that. So we all need a Kenzie in our lives to, like, kind of force people to be our friend, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can, like, I don't know, with certain people, you can just see. You can tell when something's, like, a soul friendship, which I think this is definitely what you two are, which has been really sweet to witness in person. But even just, so you guys bonded over Magnolia, and so I know obviously your story a little bit, but how did this kind of happen to where you're like, okay, let's actually open our home to people, and then, you know, pursuit of what you guys have done with that?
So I can share a little bit about I'll share a couple of different chapters of the friendship. So one, junior year, we got to know each other. Senior year rolled around, and we decided, well, in between junior and senior year, Kenzie actually ended up getting an internship at Magnolia. So she got to work for them for a little bit, and I got to visit her, hear about her experience, kind of live through what she was doing there. And then she moved back. We did senior year together, and we did our capstone project. She majored in graphic design, and I majored in photography. And you can explain your project that you had to do for your capstone and kind of where I came into that.
Yeah, so Bella was doing her, like, full year capstone project on the gathering place. So, like, the table, capturing through photography, food styling, and people coming around, and the symbolic and spiritual meaning of what food is and why it's so significant in the Bible. And so then I did a art direction class in the fall where I had to, like, pick a topic to inform a niche audience on and then make a magazine out of it. And then we had to collaborate with one other person in our college. So knowing Bella was doing her capstone, I was like, oh, well, maybe I could pick hospitality and she could take photos for my magazine and she could use them for her project as well. So at the time, like, I wasn't necessarily super passionate about hospitality, but I grew up in a house and my mom is super gifted at it, and I didn't even really realize until I started digging into it and practicing it that I've had the best example put in front of me since I was a child. Like, she was just always the first person to have people over for dinner, and rather than, like, going out to eat, which there's nothing wrong with that, but instead inviting a family or a couple over for dinner, and then even just within our family of the three of us, like, making meals every single night for me and my dad, and just showing how practical service, or what practical service looks like, in our family and then beyond that. And so anyways, back to when I was picking this topic for the magazine, I was realizing, like, oh my gosh, like, I have had a treasure of examples and application and practice in this world that a lot of people my age have not experienced, and it's definitely a lost art in our generation. And so then as Bella and I hosted two gatherings for the magazine to show and document, like, different ways you can host a simple but intentional gathering. And then I was writing the copy for it and kind of putting together a practical guide for people, like, specifically women in their young 20s of how to host. It just kind of, like, dominoed effect where I became really passionate about this of, like, oh my gosh, this is, like, a literal lost art in our generation that people don't appreciate and recognize the value of. Of setting, or first of all, just setting aside time to value people and not just rush through life and last minute, you know, let's go grab food. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just not intentional, and it's not going out of our way to serve people. And I was just realizing, like, the home is one of the most vulnerable places, and it's also one of the safest places. And so when we invite someone into our home, we're also inviting them into our lives, and we're letting them see a deeper part of who we are and allowing them to be themselves and not feel judged or like they have to have it all together before they step inside. And so we just, both Bella and I, kind of started talking about this and realizing, like, wow, we would love to just use this project as an opportunity to speak into our generation and also whoever wants to listen. Like, it doesn't have to be limited to that, but yeah, so just kind of, like, dominoed where that semester finished the magazine, people ended up wanting to buy it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is not what I was expecting. Like, I was just trying to finish a project, get an A, and now people are, like, curious and, you know, wanting to know more. And so then in the spring semester, my spring capstone rolled around, and so I had to pick another big project to work on, and I was like, well, it only makes sense to just kind of grow this into something more. So made it a brand of sorts, the Art of Hospitality Co. is what it's called. But I made a website and Instagram, and then the culmination of the project was, like, a live event where I ticketed this experience for people, for women to come and have breakfast. And then there was like a live Q&A with women that I respected and thought modeled this biblical hospitality wow. super well. And so I had like a live Q&A with them, questions on what that looks like in their daily lives and how they practically apply it. And then we did a flower workshop. So like people just learned how to make flower bouquets for their dinner tables, just a simple application. And the outcome of that was just incredible. Like women were so encouraged. Like I heard testimonies afterward of like, I've always been hesitant to like invite people over because I didn't think my space was like good enough. But I just realized like, I just need to start with what I have and that it's not about like the setting or what dishes or what food you have. It's just about valuing people. And so it just like kind of kept dominoing and like seeing the impact it was having on people. And we got more passionate about it as it went on. And then I'm basically telling this whole story. I'm so sorry. But and then after we graduated, I was like, well, I don't really want this to be over. Like, I feel like there's still momentum to this and people are interested. And so we started a podcast called the Always Invited Podcast. And we just really wanted to continue the conversation for ourselves because we were learning so much just by talking about it and applying it. And so we got to interview a bunch more women and just like hear what it looks like in their lives. And the Lord has abundantly blessed what was just a small little class project my senior year, and then seeing how he's used it for his glory and just how so many women have been blessed by it is beyond what I could have asked for. So that's in a nutshell. Do you have anything to add?
No. You hit the nail.
Large nutshell.
Really fat nutshell. No.
Maybe you talk about how now that's transpired, like living together.
Yes. Yeah, because I was going to ask, you know, like you guys probably didn't have original plans to like move together to the same places. So how did that happen?
It's another crazy story. All right. So after the senior project in the capstone, side note, we both ended up moving to Waco, Texas together. Mm. So
after graduation,
flipped our caps in the air, packed my car, and we met up in Texas. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, sorry.
It's too close.
We met up in Texas. And fun story, the following year, I ended up getting an internship at Magnolia, which did require me to move to Waco because Ken's was there the previous year. And working a full-time job that was fully remote, I said, hey, you lived in Waco last year. How do you feel about moving to Waco again and revisit your people and also help me, please? So she so willingly packed up her life in California, moved to Waco with a three-month deadline in mind, and the Lord quickly changed that for her. So while we were living in Waco, once again, learning about hospitality so much more because that was the start of the podcast.
Right.
And we move. So the Lord brings me back to California. Kenzie ends up staying in Waco. She makes amazing friends, community, super plugged into church. Why would I have a reason to leave? And I said, girl, Texas looks great on you. You should stay. And so she ends up staying. I tried staying, but the Lord made it very apparent that I was not supposed to be there. He brings me back to California, and we both do long distance for 8 months. So I moved back to California with this knowledge that the Lord has equipped me with in hospitality. And I'm, in these 8 months, I'm learning how to demonstrate hospitality in the home that I grew up in to my parents. What does that look like to take everything that I've learned, put it into practice, and for me, those 8 months were the most crucial training months of my entire life. It was practically, it looked like having an accountability partner from one of my friends in Texas who was recently married, and she was also learning how to cook. And so once a week, we would like make new recipes, and we would send each other a picture of like, hey, this is what I made. And so practicing that and then trying to cook for my family wasn't always the best meals, but truly a heart posture of trying and teachability is the key when trying to be hospitable. And so literally just practicing cleaning and cooking and, but once again, checking the heart posture of it.
Yeah.
So 8 months of training and kind of just 8 months of like, California's ride or die. Like, I'm going to die here. I'm going to be buried here.
Yeah.
And once, in the first couple months were really hard. Really hard of, now I'm humbling myself in a different way, living under my parents' roof after living away in college, living in Texas. Mm-hmm. So after all that, I finally, 8 months in, finally hit a spot of full contentment and rest of like, this is where the Lord has me, and that is okay, and there's so much good here.
Yeah.
Well, then that's when a job application popped up on my LinkedIn, and I spontaneously applied for a company out here in Franklin, Tennessee. Kenz and I end up booking tickets to meet up because she has family here, and so we decided to go to Nashville because I'd never been, while also subconsciously applying as Kenzie for the job. Do you want to share that? I think that's
sure. I'll catch up on the 8 months too.
Yeah,
that I was living in Waco. So yes, Bella left for California, and I was like, okay, Lord, I would love for her to stay. That would have been the most comfortable and enjoyable thing. But for some reason, you want us to grow separately. And so those 8 months were, like, so sanctifying for me as well. Like, as much as I loved living there, there was definitely a different rhythm of hospitality I had to learn living with two women that were not necessarily close friends. They were just people from church that I had found a connection to live with. And that was, like, a really...
formidable.
Yeah, I just was sanctified a lot.
Yeah,
and I learned how to be hospitable in that season. The best way I could be hospitable was learning how to serve my roommates, and not necessarily the people or my friends outside of that house, but like learning that the best thing I could do was not have a big party and like allow my roommates to be alone in the house. Like, that was just a different form of hospitality I had to learn of, like, okay, I'm not getting to do what I would love to do, and I just have to learn to be creative and, like, work outside these four walls, but also serve my roommates well and just letting them do what they need to do. So I learned so much in those 8 months. And then, yeah, Bella was applying for this job, and I was, like, content in Waco. I had started a new job. I was like, I'm not going to quit my job. I started 5 months ago, like... Life's good. I'm content. But she applied for this job, and there was two positions open at the same company, and it would also have been a dream company of mine to work for. And so it was kind of like a God moment where I'm like, what the heck? Like, what are the odds that there would be two random positions open aligning with our specific skill sets?
Yeah.
And yeah, basically we booked the tickets, not even related to this job application. We just wanted to come visit Nashville. Yeah. And then we ended up having an in-person interview while we were here in Nashville. And by the end of that week, we both got job offers. Nice. And we were just like, Lord, what are we doing? Like, 2 weeks ago, this was not on the radar whatsoever. And now all of a sudden, we're considering moving across the country, living together, starting our whole lives over again because we don't know anyone here. Like, a new church,
right?
New community. New jobs, everything. And so it was just very apparent over that weekend. We only had a weekend to decide. And it was just like, okay, now or never. Like, this is one of those once in a lifetime opportunities where you just got to do it. So we did it and moved here. And now it's been like 10 months. And it's been the most sanctifying season. Everything's sanctifying, you guys.
Bella's it doesn't like, ever I end. Got more to add. More to add.
Let me tell you. Okay. Oh, there's just so much here. So, once again, I'm going to go back to what Ken said. When we spent 8 months apart, we did not know. Like, the Lord had to individually refine us. We didn't know what that reason was for. Was it painful? Yes. Fast forward, moving together, we now are enjoying the fruit of what the Lord did in our lives during those 8 months apart. Yeah. Guys, you may not know what the Lord is doing, but the Lord is always working. Living together, we consistently look at each other, and I'm like, you are a completely different person than who I lived with in Waco in just 8 months. And God knew. And so to come back together with I would say, a much more mature vision of what hospitality looks like. Because I think in college it was, it's so fun and girly and we can open up our, like, my apartment and we can have people at your parents' house. Yeah. And those things are so sweet. Those are the sweet, tangible beginnings. Yeah. And then the 8 months was the hard grit of, man, this is heavy lifting here. And then now it's just, this is the sweet fruit of it. And we, I will say, our vision for hospitality now is just in such a sweet spot of, we're going to invite people into our messy apartment, but also have fun cleaning the kitchen and getting it prepared with people and doing life on life with one another. And, you know, this has been an ultimate dream of, we have always dreamt of hosting people here. And it has been truly such a sweet gift from the Lord to have the resources to furnish this apartment, to purchase food. I mean, in hospitality, at the beginning when we first moved here, hospitality looked like hosting Kenzie's mom and eating on boxes on the floor. That's really what it was. And do you think that she cared? No. All she cared about was how we made her feel and making it as special as possible by lighting a candle, by giving her a pillow to sit on. It was never about the food that we were eating. It was, you know, not about the plates that we were eating off of. It was just, once again, the heart posture of it. And so, I don't know, I think the sweetest thing has been, just serving alongside a friend who just gets the vision of the heart of hospitality is ultimately, how can I put Christ on display? How is the gospel being tangibly shown through my actions right now? And, you know, hospitality opens the door before it's even knocked on. And we just love having an open door policy. So, do you have anything to add?
No, you ask.
You're great. Well, this is why I love you two, because you just, like, feed off each other very well. it makes for a good podcast episode. So my question is, you kind of touched on this already, but I think a lot of people have one picture in mind when it comes to hospitality. But what is hospitality? You kind of already said it, but, like, what does hospitality actually, like, mean? And how does it, how can it look like? Because I think people, like I said, have, like, one picture in mind, but as we have been talking, there are multiple ways that you can show hospitality. So would love for you guys to speak on that.
I love this question. Okay, I really think we should split it up if you want. What is hospitality not?
Yeah.
And what it is.
Okay.
Do you want me to say the no's and you'll say the yeses?
Sure.
Sure, she says. Okay, these are also based off of personal experience. If you can hear the thunder in the background, I hope you can.
It's a nice little cozy vibe for us, at least.
Hey, I got a blanket. And that's all I need. We should go run outside after. Anyways, okay. These are things that Kenz and I have learned. What hospitality is not, what it is. What it is not is a just wild experience where you just bring out the best fine china. It is not entertainment. It is not fine china and top tier meals. While that can be great, that's amazing, love that, but when the sole purpose is to entertain and to be flashy, you're getting it all wrong. I think when people think of hospitality, I don't know why I said it like
the number, the more you say that word, it just sounds weirder and weirder.
Yes. Wow, hospitality. Anyways.
Thunder.
Anyways, sorry. Hospitality is not narrowed in to, when we think of hospitality, we think of Martha Stewart, Joanna Gaines, this massive house that is perfectly designed to entertain people. No. Hospitality, which Kenz will answer, can look as simple as giving someone a free ride to church. That's hospitable. It is placing the needs of someone else above your own. And so I would say those things, it's not about what can I get out of it, what can I, how can I present myself as someone who is so holier than thou and hospitable. It's so much more than that. So I don't know, would you have anything else to add of what it's not? What are other misconceptions that people think?
I'm trying to think. I know we have a list somewhere.
I think people often think that they just have to have materialistic things to host people. And it's never, it's not, guys, please hear me when I say this. This is literally, this was our sermon
today. Yeah, I literally was going to talk about that, yeah.
Mary, and just the anointing over Jesus' feet. She gave everything. And it was the heart posture that Jesus saw in her of humility and of service that he was so in love with of man. People are not going to remember the food that you gave them if it was burnt. Right. They're not going to remember the color of your pillows. What they're going to remember is how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes back to setting the gospel of how can I go so deep in the gospel that the way that I serve others is an outflow of that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so if you know anything about me, whether in person or through the podcast, through other Lids picks that I have shared, you will know that I'm really passionate about eating well and finding non-toxic products. Well, something that I've learned most recently is actually the dangers of seed oil and how many restaurants use seed oil to cook their food. You may ask what's so wrong about seed oil. Well, research has shown that how seed oils are derived from genetically modified crops, have been known to cause inflammation, diabetes, obesity, autoimmune diseases, that's what I have, heart disease, and other harmful effects. Because of my own journey with health and wellness, I'm determined to do all that I can to take the best care of the body God gave me. That's why I downloaded the Seed Oil Scout app. This app takes a record of restaurants that are known to cook with seed oil, ones that you are actually safe to eat at, because they don't use seed oil in most of their food, and ones that are verified free from any kind of seed oil, and ones that you should avoid actually because they have not shared any facts about what they use to cook their food, so it is much better to be safe than sorry to eat at their restaurant. I've already marked down some really great looking restaurants that I hadn't even heard of until finding this app to explore in the Nashville area, and I'm excited to eat food that won't make me feel so miserable after eating it, which actually tends to happen more often than not when I go out to eat at restaurants anywhere here, even anywhere where I've lived, period. I eat something, it tastes really good in the moment, but then I feel nauseous, I've got headaches, and I just am so crummy for the rest of the day. So that's why I'm excited to use this app, especially when I travel as well, which I do pretty often, and I can find anywhere in that area what is safe for me to eat. So I recommend downloading the Seed Oil Scout app and start your 3-day free trial today and see if you find a difference in how you feel after eating safe food from safe restaurants. And remember, I'm not getting paid for this. This is Lid's pick. It's something that I am choosing to share with y'all based on my experience and because I really think it'll help everyone to live a much better life fully for the Lord. So I hope you download it today. And now let's get back to the show. And I think just briefly touching on that, since you brought it up about Mary and how, you know, our pastor had talked about how Mary wanted to show her devotion to Christ by giving all that she had and humbling herself and, you know, things like that. And when Pastor Johnny was also talking about Martha and how she did exemplify hospitality when it was, you know, she was like helping, you know, get things ready and all that stuff in their home. And but it was at one point saying like, why, you know, get my sister to help me. That's where it's like, okay, you're worrying too much about this and you need to, like, Jesus is not saying it's bad. Like, that is a very honorable thing that Martha was doing as well, but it was that she was getting too caught up in that. And as Jesus said, that Mary chose a better thing, which was just to sit at his feet and listen. And you know, and I'm sure you'll talk about this as well. Like, sorry, Ken, that I'm answering part of your question,
no,
but
go for it.
It's you know, it's hospitality is just like what you can do to serve the other person and ultimately serve Christ in that. See the passion. I love it.
Yes. No, coming alive. So, I mean, you look at the Gospels and so many people that he interacts with, he first meets their tangible needs.
Yeah.
And he uses those things to allude to your spiritual need, which is ultimately the need for a savior of like, I am the bread of life. I am the door. Whoa, that's crazy. You know, and there's some hospitality in there. It goes back to the garden in Genesis. Like, The garden is a place where people can enjoy. It's a home. It's God had created a hospitable environment for Adam and Eve to thrive and flourish in.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the fall happened, and then, you know, everything else goes with that. But so much happens in the home and around the table, and there's so much. That could be a whole other episode in itself, which I won't get into. But, Kenz, I don't know if you want to share anything.
Yeah, please add on to this. What is hospitality, Kenzie?
Well, I also thought of one more thing that it's not. Or a misconception is that it's just a gift that some people have, which it is in the sense that there are people that have the gift of hospitality in the sense that they, like a lot of women, for example, know how to cultivate a space that's like warm and inviting and makes people like their environment feel aesthetically or metaphorically warm and inviting. However, hospitality is not just a call for those that are gifted. It is for the believer. And all followers of Christ are called to be hospitable and are equipped by the Holy Spirit to be that, because we have the ultimate example of Christ who, like Bella touched on, sacrificed himself and his life for us. Like, he's the ultimate example of hospitality. Like, making himself available to us and living his life with us so that, you know, we could be free of sin and live in the freedom that his righteousness brings. But yeah, I think it's a misconception and something that even I think men potentially could fall back on of like, well, that's just a women's gift. And it's like, no, like, if you're really down to the foundational level of what is biblical hospitality, it's not like making things pretty. It's how does it, like Bella was saying, how am I making someone feel valued and seen and known and loved and like ultimately just displaying Christ?
Yeah.
So with that, that's what it's not. And then I've always said, like, kind of the definition or mantra for the Art of Hospitality Co. was creating space where people feel valued. So like, that's ultimately what hospitality is. There's always a space involved, whether it's your home or it's outside or it's at your place of work or it's at the grocery store. Like, it doesn't matter where you are, but you're always in a space in which you have the opportunity to either make someone feel valued or make them feel like not present or less than valued. There's no neutral ground. So I think, again, it just goes back to the gospel of what has Christ done for us. He's the ultimate example, and we love because he first loved us. Yeah. So looking at him, and then how do we tangibly show that to people? Yes, it can be through having a dinner party and, you know, using fun, thematic, aesthetic things. But again, not everyone's gifted in that. And so ultimately, it's just serving and putting others before ourselves, counting others more significant than yourself. And that can look like a thousand different ways in the everyday practical.
Well, before we go into some of those examples, the Lord just like brought up in mind too that in terms of what it's not and also what it is and what it can look like, just another example in my mind is that I think there are some people out there who view hospitality as a means to elevate themselves.
Yes.
That it can be a selfish act as well. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Bella, it's all about the heart posture and that there are people who do want to be extravagant and use the materialistic things. Maybe they do have a desire to welcome people in their home, but some people use that as a means to brag about themselves, like what they have, and you know, and also pointing out things that like, oh, look what I did, you know. It's like, who cares? You know, because like the person there is like, maybe they will already see that and think that if you are humble enough anyway, people are going to compliment you anyway, I feel like. I mean, I think that as soon as I walk into your home, a lot of the times when you host, you know, get-togethers, it is very evident how much hard work you put into it. And I think those who truly are part of the body of Christ will want to edify you in that and you know, share like, hey, your hard work is seen. Because that's also something that the church should do in response to like, oh, you're serving me, but I want to let you know that this means so much. Yeah. But then on the, and then the other hand too, it's like, I think hospitality is also not just for believers. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm thinking of Rosaria Butterfield.
And yes. How, I was thinking of her too.
Exactly. Yeah. And how she and her partner, were invited to a pastor's home, and he had no, you know, maybe he did see it as an opportunity. I believe he probably did, as an opportunity to share Christ's love with them and ultimately the gospel. Mm-hmm. But it was because of her desire to want to prove him wrong, essentially, or the Bible wrong, that she dug into the scripture. But having these discussions with him, and then that ultimately led to her salvation in Christ. But it all started with, like, hey, I want to invite you over to dinner. Yeah. I'd love to invite you over. And it had nothing to do with judging them or casting that on them, or, you know, saying, like, you're going to hell because of this or whatever. It's more of, like, let's just, we're people first. I want to invite you in my home. I want to love on you. Mm-hmm. And let's be friends. And I think that some people in the church are sometimes afraid to invite people outside of their oikos to in their homes, because they're worried maybe about saying the wrong thing, potentially, mm-hmm. or that they're just not used to being outside of the Christian bubble.
Oh, yeah. But in those moments, too, even when Kenz and I have felt, or I'll speak for me, when I felt hesitant to invite someone over who may not share the same beliefs as me, I have to remember I was once that. Mm. I was once a stranger, and Christ invited me to dine with him at his table. The person who literally mocked him, he's inviting me to his table. Mm. And the more, once again, the more that we go down in the gospel, the more that that overflows into every area of our life. And the word hospitality means the love of a stranger. And so that really, it is, it's like, love God and love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The people that are around me, the people that don't yet know Christ, the people that do know Christ. Like, my neighbor is someone who I can invite and be a give them a tangible experience into the goodness of the gospel that is being offered to them.
So speaking on that, give some examples, some practical ways I think that people can show hospitality. Maybe they feel inadequate or unqualified to maybe invite them in their home. Maybe as you had that experience where you were living with roommates where you couldn't necessarily bring people into your home, what are some ways that people can show hospitality in their everyday life?
We have so many. Well, specifically if you... Yeah, if you were in a situation like I was, where I just literally couldn't use my home to the degree that I wanted to, I think you just got to get creative.
You're good. Give
me a water bottle.
You got to get creative of what you can do outside. And that could look like having people for a party at a park and bringing all the food and the napkins and plates, like, just to an outside space. Or even just, like, using someone else's apartment and like getting an opportunity to serve alongside someone else, or coming alongside them in their hospitality act of service and serving them in any way capacity you can. But I think too, it's like part of our podcast Bella and I did in our season one or two, I forget, but kind of interviewing people in different workspaces and environments in which hospitality can look specific to that workplace. So like in healthcare, like if you're a healthcare worker, what does it look like to be hospitable to people that are hurting and sick and vulnerable and don't even have a voice to defend themselves? Or what does it look like to be hospitable in the classroom? Like if you're at a public school and you can't necessarily share the gospel, but you're using this subject matter and trying to speak truth into these students' lives, and creating a classroom environment that they feel safe and known and valued. I mean, the list goes on. Whatever workspace you're in, like, the Lord is giving you an opportunity to see and value people. And there's a thousand ways to do that, but those are a few examples. What else do you got?
I can share in ways that I've been a recipient of hospitality. One is, okay, one was in college. Kenz and I were new friends, and I got in a really bad car accident that ended up totaling my car. And a lot of the classes that I was taking were off campus, and me and my pride did not want to ask for help. But where we went to school was a more sketchy area, and it was not wise for me to walk to class. And so I remember
Ken saying, well, let me just, I'll take you and I'll drop you off to class and pick you up.
Hmm.
And it was something that was so hard for me to wrestle with of, why are you inviting me into your space, her car, and offering to take me to class? It doesn't make sense. Can I pay you for gas money? Yeah. Do you need anything? You know, what do you want from me? Hmm. And she's like, I just want to take you to class. And I want you to be safe. And I do it because I care about you. And in those moments, it was so humbling because it was the Lord's grace demonstrated in that act of me, a stranger, someone who doesn't really know Ken's, but yet she's offering me something so sweet and meeting my need right now.
Yeah.
And the greater story behind that act of taking me to class was, this is God's grace, his unmerited favor. I don't deserve it, but it's just being lavished and offered to me. And it's uncomfortable to take, but it's also so sweet.
Yeah.
I think another example is when you had me over, when I went over to your house the first time, and your mom made us little taquito bowls with a cute little side salad, and I had not had a quote-unquote home-cooked meal in a really long time. And just being in a home was so refreshing, of just sitting on the floor, eating my taquitos and salad. And it was truly just such an act of hospitality of, once again, I don't deserve this, but I can see the Lord's kindness through these actions. But yeah, I think hospitality is calling a friend up and having a good intentional conversation to, Ken's doing the dishes when I get home, or, you know, just doing things without, like, you're seeing the need, you're recognizing the need, and you're taking action in that. And so hospitality does not look like giving a 5-star meal to your closest friends every night. It's really, truly, like, how can I, once again, tangibly serve this person, meet their needs, while also pointing to the greatest need that we all have is the need for a savior.
Yeah. And you actually touched on a really important thing that I think we should speak on those who are receiving hospitality as well. As you mentioned, like, your pride was getting in the way from wanting to ask for help or ask for, or just to even receive that hospitality and love from someone. And I think that, you know, especially in our day, as you said, when you were talking about that, this niche magazine capstone project that you did, and how no one really in your generation, it's like a lost art, as you mentioned, that I think because of social media and aspects, like, especially with COVID and being by yourself a lot, everyone's so focused on, like, myself, and I'm the only one who can trust me, and I can't trust anybody else. And so, speaking to those who, you know, I feel like I even struggle with this too. Like, I'd rather serve sometimes than to be served. And I feel selfish for wanting to receive that. But, you know, I think that it is really important for us to, as you said, just to have a humble spirit and realize that we're actually doing a disservice to the person who wants to show them hospitality by rejecting that. You know, it's like, they want to show you love, and for you to say no to that is not honoring to them or to God.
Oh man, wow, that was good. I'm writing that down in my wow notes. So good. I think, once again, goes back to the gospel. When we look at the gospel, God's grace, his unmerited favor, is salvation's freely given to us. It is nothing that we could ever do to earn. Nothing. Does not matter how hard you work to be approved, liked. In the light of the gospel, we were dead in our trespasses, dead at the bottom of the ocean. We have contributed nothing to our rescue. It is all Christ alone. All of our righteousness comes from him. There is not a day where he doesn't love me any more or any less. His love is steadfast and constant. And when we remember that, of like, man, when I look to the gospel, in the light of the gospel eats up my pride. Like, that, for me to even ever think that I gave a little ounce to my rescue is just foolishness. And so when we remember that, it's like, okay, Lord, it is okay to be served by these people. And it's not necessarily, oh, like, you need help, well, I'll help. Like, it's no, it's the Lord wants to be on display here. It's ultimately going to be for his glory. And so I think just consistently asking the Lord for a heart posture of humility makes us able to receive that love, because ultimately it's us receiving Christ's love. I don't know, Kenzie, if you have anything. I mean, yeah, you
covered it.
Pride is just, pride it is
seems
so crazy. So
it seems so ironic too, because I think before becoming a Christian, you want to soak up as much like attention as possible, but then like the moment you become a Christian, Satan is like, no, you don't deserve this, you shouldn't be. So so it's, I mean, yeah, so it's on both sides, like with hospitality, both parties need to remember like how to serve each other. So like, you know, when I'm coming to your party, I'm actually serving you as well by saying like, thank you for coming and just enjoying in the fruits of your labor. So that also, I guess, is a way to show hospitality. And so, yeah, there's a lot that you guys just show very, very well. And seeing through it on social media. You guys should also talk about your coffee little thing that you guys do, which I still have yet to be able to be a part of because I'm always out of town or something. So talk on that really briefly.
Okay, so the fridge, goodness. Yes, so after we moved here, the podcast kind of died. we were like, well, Lord, we just strongly sensed that the Lord was closing that chapter for at least a season, and we didn't know for how long, but we obviously knew the hospitality was not done. Like, he wanted to use this platform in ministry in some shape or form, even if it wasn't through a podcast. So Bella had seen, like, on Pinterest or Instagram, these, like, at-home coffee shop pop-ups, you know, that, like, are all branded and you got the stickers and you, like, sell little pastries. And so I think it was back in October we did our – no, September. September, the 21st of September. Because we were like the 21st morning of September. No, the 21st night. But we had a pop-up, always invited coffee shop. Well, I call it the coffee club.
It was a housewarming party.
That's true. It started as a housewarming party because we were like, oh, we finally furnished most of this apartment and we would love everyone to come. Like, we literally just threw it out to all the groupies and anyone we had met at church and work. At that point, we didn't have like a formed friend group, but we were just like, anyone and everyone come. And so then it became like kind of this bi-month, or not bi-monthly, like every other month or so. We've done like four of them, I think, where we just have like, Bella has an espresso machine, and I made stickers for coffee carafe cups, and we'll have like a menu on the wall that people can like pick their pastries from. It's been so fun, and we literally will pack this apartment with like 25 to 30 people, and it is not a very big space. But somehow it always works out. People meet new people, friends reconnect. It's
numbers
just
exchanged.
Numbers exchanged. It's just like been a really sweet way to see how, just a simple invitation and an open door gets more community forming, and hopefully like the gospel on display in a small, simple, fun, tangible way. So if you're in Franklin, pop by at our next always Friday coffee club. We don't know when it's happening, but I'm sure it will.
Oh, definitely. Which I'm determined to go to the next one. Well, we've had such a great conversation about this, and I know that we can literally talk more, because in my mind I'm just thinking like of more things I could say, but I'm like, we should probably wrap this up. But as I mentioned to you before we started this podcast recording, you know, I ask all my guests of you know, advice on, based on the verse of our what our podcast is on based on. Well, can't speak, I don't know why, but with Luke 12:27 it says, consider how the wildflowers of grow. Oh my gosh, let me just
start out.
So I ask all of my so I ask all of my guests the same question, because our podcast is called Dress in Splendor, and it's based off of Luke 12:27. It says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Based on the conversation we had on hospitality, with your business and things like that, what is some advice that you would give to someone who maybe wants to pursue hospitality more formally, or just even in their daily lives? And how they can trust in God in that their plan, those plans for their lives and how they can be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field.
Wow. Such a good question.
That's a heavy question.
This is a great question. I would say Bella and I's experience, as we've learned and grown through these last couple years of practicing this, I think to your point of dressed in splendor and the Lord will like multiply the small things that you offer him. Like, I think in hospitality, back to the whole point of it does not need to be a grand gesture or a five-star meal or the best china, but like simply offering what you have and giving the Lord your first fruits, you will see him multiply. And what was the phrase you used?
Be dressed in grander splendor.
Grander splendor. Like, the act of service that you offer him, he will dress in grander splendor. Like, I think just starting with what you have, like, practically, if you have an apartment and you think it's too small, just, like, open the door, invite 2 to 3 people, or even one person. Like, it does not need to be anything beyond your means, and just offer them a cup of coffee or offer them a simple conversation and a listening ear, like, and see what the Lord does with that. I think Bella and I both have seen just even months where it was like, okay, we're having a party and we don't really have the finances to like make this what we want it to be, but somehow the Lord just always provides. And it's, again, not the food or the decorations or the music that people remember, it's how you make them feel. And if they walk away feeling more valued and cherished and closer to Christ, like, you've done your job. And the Lord will bless that. So I don't know if that's super practical, but I just think, like, offer what you have. That's all you can do. That's all the Lord's asking you to do. Do you have anything to add?
Speaking more into the spiritual side of it, just go back to the gospel. I'm gonna keep saying it. This is something I need to rehearse myself, is the more that we study the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf, the more that we study the great love in which he's loved us, the more that we study the ways in which he came to serve us, when we focus on Christ, that will flow into every single area of our life. It's, well, how can I love someone? Go to the gospel. Look at the ways Christ has served us. Go and do the same. It's like, seek first the kingdom of God. And yeah, just like I said, go back to the gospel. The gospel has all the answers. It is everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And so I think, yeah, the gospel is just a great way to calibrate our hearts before opening up our home. So yeah, I want to encourage you in
word.
That.
Years in the practice. Well, I'm really thankful to have you guys here, and honestly, whenever I think of hospitality, I literally think of you too. You guys, as I mentioned, do a really, really great job of doing this and inviting people into your home, making them feel seen and loved and valued. And I mean, I could share an example of how you did that personally for me as well. But yeah, so for those who want to find you and follow the art of hospitality, or maybe go to the coffee shop, where can they find you?
So there's an Instagram at the heart of at theartofhospitality.co, and then the podcast is always invited. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It is a little dormant right now, but it may revive at any time. So you just never know. And you can also listen to the last 3 seasons. So
awesome. Well, I mean, if you guys also want to drop your personal handles, you can. I mean, you are a photographer as well, Bella, and your stuff is incredible to look at. So drop that handle.
Thank you. Oh my word, this is so funny. At Bella Sophia, S-O-F-I-A, photo. All one word. Wow, that feels weird. And you're a graphic designer, so if you want to do a little Created by Kens moment.
That's all it is, at Created by Kens.
Yes, and I'll have everything in the show notes. But thank you guys for just joining me on the show today.
Thank you. Lee's amazing, guys.
Yes, thank you for having us. I feel honored. I've never been interviewed before.
Oh my gosh. No, it's fun.
I am thankful for you and our friendship.
I'm thankful for you guys. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Woo! Yay!
okay, don't you just want to be friends with them too? I mean, they are such great friends to one another, but also to those around them. And it's very evident, as you can tell from their conversation, about their passion for hospitality. Anytime they invite someone into their home or welcome them in into their community, you just feel like you're a part of a family, which is such a wonderful way to exemplify hospitality in the Lord. I hope you were encouraged by our conversation. And if you think that this episode might be a blessing for someone in your life, please share. Our hope, as always, with this podcast is to help others feel encouraged and learn how to be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. And if you don't mind, take a brief moment and make sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at SplendorMag. Before we were on at Dress in Splendor, but now our company has decided to bring everything together under one umbrella. So you'll find updates on when our next episode will drop, little sneak peeks, also information about how you can subscribe to our magazine, and also just providing some great video content that hopefully will be encouraging for you. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging and the occasional silly content, and also more and more recently, a lot of homemade recipes, you can find me on Instagram at LidsSummer. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jayella Recasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.